1, 2, 3. Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, that I expressed to them, I was mad, I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you live on this Thursday, January 30th, 2020. Of course, due to our continuing coverage of the Senate impeachment hearings on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM, we are continuing our Facebook Live only edition of Current Sports shows throughout the week here. You may be also listening to the podcast edition of the show at WKAR.org. We thank you for rocking with us, even if it's not on our usual frequencies, all right? We got a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. Last night, it wasn't even close come the second half, I should say, because at halftime, Michigan State only held down an 11-point lead against the Big Ten bottom feeder that is the Northwestern Wildcats. But then in the second half, Michigan State just exploded and showed the true potential of this team, especially when facing inferior competition like Northwestern. You know, Brian Lewerke had an interesting tweet last night. Brian Lewerke, now the former senior quarterback of the Michigan State football team, and he basically asked why Northwestern even has a basketball team. They are that bad, all right? So we'll recap the pouncing of the Spartans over the Wildcats last night. Also, I want to give you guys an update pertaining to the Mark D'Antonio deposition in regards to former MSU football staffer Curtis Blackwell being let go. There have been some new revelations centered on that deposition, and we'll talk about it. Don't miss that. And also, we continue to mourn the passing of Kobe Bean Bryant, who, as you know by now, passed away sadly on Sunday, victim of a helicopter crash, along with eight other people that included his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna Bryant. Just really, really sad stuff. Kobe's wife, Vanessa, has spoken out about that death of her now late husband, and you'll get a chance to hear a bit of what she had to say. So, not here, but I'll read a bit of what she had to say. All right, so we'll dive into that. If you would like to be a part of the show, our phone lines are open. We are opening up our phone lines, even though we are just online. You know, we weren't sure technically if we could make that happen for you guys, but, you know, we can. If you want to call in and be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to dial. You can, again, watch the live stream, and this is a Facebook live-only edition of the show at facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch and comment below the video there. And you can even tweet us if you want to weigh in that way. At WKAR News is the official Twitter handle of the show, or you can just tweet me directly at AlMartinWKAR. You know what's next, though? We've got Alec Rio behind the glass pushing us along here with your Current Sports quick hit headliners.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we start with the Michigan State men's basketball team and that thumping of Northwestern last night as the offensive tempo was on full display in that second half as they erupted for 46 points in 20 minutes, getting that win over the Wildcats, 79-50, your final. So a 29-point win for the Spartans. Cassius Winston, he went off with 18 points on 6 of 12 shooting overall, 4 of 7 from deep. Foster Lawyer, yes, Foster Lawyer has been playing great as of late. He was big last night. He had 9 points. 12 points for Foster Lawyer. Xavier Tillman also had double digits in the win. The Spartans now move to 16-5 as we now hit the halfway mark of the Big Ten year. 8-2 in the Big Ten. Michigan State right now holds down the fort as the numero uno team in the Big Ten Conference. Sole possession of the Big Ten lead as they are now a half game in front of Illinois, nipping at the heels of the Spartans. Illinois will actually take on Minnesota tonight, so that should be a very intriguing game. For Michigan State, next game will be against Wisconsin on Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. Also, Brad Davison, did you hear about this story? Iowa beat Wisconsin on Monday night, 68-62. Now, it was a one-point game with less than a minute left. That was until Iowa's Joe Weiskamp. He made a layup with 34 seconds remaining. Officials reviewed the play and addressed a flagrant foul to Wisconsin guard Brad Davison, who took a cheap shot while trying to fight, quote-unquote, fight through a Connor McCaffrey screen. But you can clearly see that Brad Davison, it was a low blow to the groin area of that player. So, the Big Ten got involved. They reviewed that film, clearly a cheap shot. Brad Davison, just a dirty player, and he has now been suspended one game by the Big Ten for his actions in that game. Again, 30 seconds left. Wisconsin was trailing by 3. He went through the screen, appeared to purposely strike. It was Iowa's, Connor McCaffrey in the groin. Davison received a flagrant 1 foul, but he was allowed to stay in the game, which baffled me. This is what Big Ten Commish Kevin Warren said in a statement. Quote, "We expect all of our student athletes to compete and play hard. However, they must always do so in a civil manner that is consistent with the rules of the game and in the spirit of good sportsmanship. We will not tolerate behavior that compromises the health and safety of our student athletes or crosses the line of aggressive competitive play, especially when a pattern of similar behavior has been previously established." And yes, that's the key here as well. Brad Davison, he has had a history of this kind of dirty play. He did something similar last season in a game against Marquette, in which he was assessed a flagrant foul after hitting MSU transfer hopeful Joey Hauser in the groin. Davison will miss Wisconsin's game against Michigan State on Saturday. The Badgers will also be without Kobe King, who announced Wednesday that he's out. He's chucking up the deuces. Sayonara, suckers. I'm leaving the program. King missed Wisconsin's game against Iowa for personal reasons. Now, again, we don't know the exact details as to why Kobe King decided to leave the program, but based on what we know now, I've got some things to say about Kobe King leaving Wisconsin and leaving his teammates out dry like this. All right, so that game against Wisconsin on the road for Michigan State just got a whole heck of a lot easier. All right, the MSU women's basketball team has continued to struggle in Big Ten play, 4-5 on the season, 11-9 overall, riding a 2-game losing streak, losing to 2 ranked opponents in 22 Northwestern and 19 Iowa in those last 2 games. Susie Merchant's team is looking for some light in the Big Ten tunnel tonight as they face a Purdue team who is facing similar struggles. Purdue is 5-4 in the Big Ten, and after being held scoreless in the last game against Northwestern, both Nia Cloudon and Taryn McCutcheon returned to form against Iowa. Cloudon, who scored 10 points, has now reached double figures in scoring 16 times in 20 games this year. For her career, she has reached double figures 38 times And McCutchen had 12 points and has now reached double digits 14 times this year and 52 times during her career. So Michigan State, again, in action tonight, hosting Purdue. And the tip time for that game will take place at 7 p.m. All right, moving along here. Michigan State football has just landed an addition to its backfield a week before the next signing day as Donovan Eaglin, who was a 2020 running back from Manville High School out in Texas. He announced his commitment to the Spartans via Twitter last night. 5'11", 215. He is listed as a three-star prospect and the number 96th running back in the 2020 class by 247 Sports, but doesn't have a 247 Sports composite ranking just yet. I should say rating just yet. Michigan State is the only reported FBS offer for Eaglin. Michigan State received national letters of intent from 19 players during the early signing period in December, but the group didn't include a running back. Jordan Simmons, a three-star running back from Georgia, he verbally committed to Michigan State in October but didn't sign in December. He said in a message to MLive on Wednesday that he plans on signing come February 5th, which is the first day of the next signing period. All right, again, new revelations concerning the Mark D'Antonio deposition as it pertains to former MSU football staffer Curtis Blackwell. Mark D'Antonio apparently sat on a train in Italy on May 22nd of 2017 when he delivered Curtis Blackwell the news in a very short phone call that he would not be retained by Michigan State's football program. Now, that was a part of a 57-page portion of D'Antonio's deposition filed by Blackwell's lawyers in federal court late Wednesday as part of the ongoing civil suit claiming wrongful termination of Blackwell's contract. Now, in his nearly six-hour deposition on January 10th in Grand Rapids, D'Antonio explained a number of reasons why he chose to let Blackwell's contract expire, which I will comb through the details of in just a moment. Stay tuned for that. All right, the Detroit Pistons were in action last night, and despite an above-average offensive performance from the Detroit Pistons, they still lost 125-115, your final, at the hands of Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie Irving, of course, has been playing. This was his first game, actually, since hearing of the news of Kobe Bryant's death. Kobe Bryant and Kyrie Irving, if you didn't know, they were very, very tight. Kyrie Irving looked at Kobe Bryant as a big brother and a mentor of his, and he actually teared up and broke down in tears during the national anthem of that game last night in Brooklyn. I watched most of it. Reggie Jackson, who finished with 23 points, and Derrick Rose, he had 22. Christian Wood, I told you about Christian Wood. I told you at the very beginning of the year that Wood was going to be a consistent force for this team, and he continues to turn heads. He had 20 points, 8 assists last night. He has nearly quadrupled his points total with the Pistons when it comes to comparing any other year since he has been in the league since his rookie campaign, which was the 2015-2016 year. And he has been on a new team every season leading up to now. So a lot of people believe that Wood has found a home here in Detroit, and I'm really enjoying watching that young man play. All right, Markieff Morris, he decided to stop wearing number 8 to honor Kobe Bryant, and he actually chose 88 to honor him. It's a tough call. It was a tough call because the Pistons have retired 9 jersey numbers. Morris considered number 33, but that is a candidate to be retired at some point. Of course, Grant Hill wore that for 6 years playing with the Pistons. So he found a solution in wearing number 88. Quote, "I'm just going to go double eights," he said Wednesday morning. "All respect to Kobe, I'm just going to put it on my jersey twice." Morris joins other players across the NBA who have decided to stop wearing number 8 and 24. Those are the numbers that Bryant wore in his 20-year career with the LA Lakers. And as we all know, this is just such a tragic event Brooklyn Nets guard Spencer Dinwiddie, a former Pistons player, he changed his number from number 8 to number 26, and he said that he chose number 26 because his son was born April 20th, and Dinwiddie's birthday is April 6th. Dinwiddie, who is from Southern California, he grew emotional remembering Bryant on Sunday. And Vanessa Bryant, the now widow of Kobe Bryant, in her first public comments since the death of her husband and daughter Gianna on Sunday, she made a very touching Instagram post yesterday and said that her family is, quote, completely devastated. And she thanked the millions of fans who have shown support during what she called a, quote, horrific time. She announced the formation of a fund to help support the other families who were affected by the crash. Vanessa wrote in an Instagram post, quote, there aren't enough words to describe our pain right now. I take comfort in knowing that Kobe and Gigi both knew that they were so deeply loved. We were so incredibly blessed to have them in our lives, and I wish they were here with us forever. They were our beautiful blessings taken from us too soon. Kobe and Vanessa married in 01. They have four daughters together, now three due to Gianna no longer being with us. Natalia is 17. Capri is just 7 months old, and they also have a three-year-old in Bianca. So Kobe was on his way to a youth basketball game with Gianna when the helicopter went down. Okay. Again, if you guys want to continue to just kind of vent and get this off your chest, you can do so multiple ways. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News, just like many of you are already doing and have been doing throughout this week. And you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
Hutchison guarding him. Takes the deep one. Oh, he ties the game!
Wow. Wow. They say big-time players make big-time plays. And that's the reason why that man's an all-star, ladies and gentlemen. Not afraid of the moment. This guy's missed a lot of time and steps up calm, cool, collected, and drains a three with a man in his face. Chandler Hutchison's guard. Look how deep he is.
He's at the hash.
You're 1-for-7, down 3. There's a timeout called. I know it's silly to ask you how did you have the confidence, but as you walk back out on the court, did you feel like it was meant to be for you to take that shot to put this game into overtime? And as I have you answer that question, let's look back at the monitor and tell me what you saw on that final play.
I just shot it, man. Mamba mentality, man. That's what Cole, Gigi, all the people that was on that helicopter, that's what that meant. It's been a tough year, man, but tough times don't last, tough people do. And I work so hard, man. And thankful for my friends, this state, these people, my family, my teammates.
How touching was that, right? Victor Oladipo of the Indiana Pacers hitting a clutch, clutch three last night in that Pacers win that went to overtime between the Pacers and Chicago Bulls. It was Victor Oladipo's first time playing in a year. He has worked so hard to try and get back on the court, and he finally got back on the hardwood. And he didn't have a great game shooting-wise, but when the game was on the line and he needed to tie the game, when the Pacers needed to tie that game, you heard the audio, the in-game audio, describing that play. I mean, Victor Oladipo, yeah, he was way out there on near the left hash and drained it. So many thoughts going through his mind because we are all still very emotional due to the passing of Kobe Bryant on Sunday. It's affected NBA players, coaches, personnel all across the league, including Victor Oladipo. But, you know, you have your first return in a year coupled with the fact that, you know, Kobe Bryant is no longer here. He was just very emotional, very, very emotional, as you can understand. And he dedicated that May bucket to Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gigi, and the seven others who lost their lives in that helicopter crash. But, you know, this has just sent a shockwaves everywhere, sent shockwaves throughout our entire sporting world and just the world in general. You know, I've seen tributes out in Italy, out in China, out in Japan. You know, Kobe was a global figure in the face of basketball for so many years. So again, we continue to pay tribute to Kobe's memory, to his life and his legacy. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 to make it very local, to put his effect into perspective here locally. You know, I just literally just retweeted Mark D'Antonio's latest tweet that came just 7 minutes ago, as he has a picture of him as well as his two daughters alongside him, with the quote, "Love my girls," heart emoji, hashtag girl dad. And girl dad has gone viral. I don't know if you guys have seen the Ellie Duncan tribute to Kobe Bryant, where she tells a story of an interaction she had with Kobe when I think it was the first time she actually met Kobe Bryant, and Kobe looked down on her belly and realized that she was pregnant, and they start to have this conversation about, you know, being parents and him being the father of girls and how he loves it. And, you know, Ellie Duncan said that he called himself a girl dad. And since that touching tribute from Ellie Duncan of ESPN, I mean, you've seen hashtag girl dad everywhere. So that's a really cool way in which Mark D'Antonio has paid tribute to Kobe Bryant with the hashtag girl dad. And also, prior to the start of last night's Michigan State men's basketball game against Northwestern, Michigan State and Northwestern, they paused a bit as Jeremy Sampson, the PA announcer at the Breslin Center, he hopped on the PA system and announced that, you know, we will be having a moment of silence and letting the shot clock run down from 24 all the way to zero. Of course, 24 was one of Kobe's numbers that he wore during his 20-year career with the LA Lakers. For those that tune into that game and tune into the Big Ten Network or were there, you guys saw that tribute before the game. So just teams across, you know, all walks of sports, from youth sports all the way up to the pros, and of course in college, have paid tribute to Kobe. And speaking of Michigan State men's basketball, let's dive into a bit of what happened last night. It was not easy to start that game, as Michigan State men's basketball were actually in a dogfight after a really good start to that game. A really solid start. You know, the way that game began, I thought that Michigan State was just going to cruise to a blowout victory. You know, it was a 16-2 start for the Spartans, and then that was quickly erased by a 13-2 Northwestern run. And then you're sitting there looking at that game, and I got to be honest, you know, I made a mental note that with about, you know, 7 minutes left in the game when Northwestern stormed back, if it wasn't for a pair of Foster Lawyer threes, Northwestern would have actually had a one-point lead in that game. More of Foster Lawyer in just a moment, but, you know, Michigan State and this turnover problem, that's got to shore up because against much greater competition, you know, I've been listening to, you know, a few people break down what happened last night pertaining to that game. And, you know, there are so many people that are high on MSU men's basketball, looking at that second half and how brilliant it was. Michigan State locking down defensively and then offensively getting some performances and some consistent effort from players who seem to be maturing over time. Look, it's Northwestern. I'm not about to throw a party here, you know, when it comes to beating Northwestern because, you know, Michigan State handled business last night. You're at home. Michigan State always plays well at home, and you're playing bottom feeder in the Big Ten, the team that's in the basement of the league, Northwestern. You are supposed to pounce on Northwestern and win by 29 points. For me, you know, I kind of have I'm sure I'm in the minority in saying this, but you know, I don't feel 1,000% positive about that performance last night because I still am concerned about Michigan State and some of the droughts that they have throughout the course of a game. And Izzo knows this because if you watched Tom Izzo's post-game press conference and you listened to him, Tom Izzo was not a happy man. Now, you're probably sitting there saying, well, Al, Tom Izzo is never happy, is he? No, he's not. Because Tom Izzo is a perfectionist. You know, Tom Izzo reminds me a lot of Kobe Bryant in many different ways because, you know, Tom Izzo is uber competitive. He is so fiery like Kobe was, and he is never satisfied. We all know that because Tom is chasing that thing that we will never attain, that thing being perfection. And he knows that, hey, it's about to be February come this weekend. You got to start playing your best basketball right now. You got to start gelling right now because pretty soon, in a matter of weeks here, we are talking about postseason basketball, all right? And that's what Michigan State usually clicks. But as I stated in my post-game report for this game, which aired this morning on Morning Edition, and you can hear it on All Things Considered with Karell Vega later on today, Tom Izzo hammered consistency. He said consistency about 15 times during his post-game press conference last night in the Breslin Center. Because that's also what that was my big takeaway away from that game. It's like, all right, Michigan State, great start. But then you have a hiccup in the middle, and then you play brilliant in the second half. That middle part against greater competition can be very troubling, and it can possibly lead to a loss. What I want to see from Michigan State is a wall-to-wall performance that is impressive on different fronts. I don't want to see Michigan State having a hiccup in the middle because, again, against better competition, you can get away with that against Northwestern, but against better competition, it just worries me. What is encouraging, though, is Michigan State's defense. Michigan State's defense has been very impressive lately. And that continued against Northwestern, holding the Wildcats to just 35% shooting and 16% from deep. Not only that, but you got to throw in the fact that the Spartans had 9 steals, forced 15 Northwestern turnovers, and they also had 7 blocked shots. And a few of those blocks coming off of the palm of Marcus Bingham Jr. Isn't it so encouraging when you see somebody who is such a towering force like Marcus Bingham? Isn't it so encouraging to see him in the game getting good minutes, and when he's matched up against whoever he's matched up down low, how much he affects the game with those long arms? I mean, Marcus doesn't even have to really jump to block a shot. He is that lengthy. He can just throw his hands up, and it's like trying to shoot over a wall. And we saw that happen a few times last night for him. I mean, I love having Marcus Bingham Jr. in the game, especially when you've got some of these impressive big men across the Big Ten Conference. Marcus Bingham, yeah, he needs to pack on a few more pounds and hit that weight room, but his length alone makes it so tough for any force down low to get a shot off. So that was impressive. And, you know, you look at those numbers defensively for the Spartans, so impressive. I mean, you know, Northwestern looked totally lost. And a lot of that had to do with the communication on defense. I mean, guys shuffling their feet, fighting through screens, switching things up. And, you know, if it wasn't for a make by Northwestern with about 5 seconds left, the Spartans would have held the Wildcats under 50 points. And this is the second straight opponent held under 60 points and the fourth straight held under 70. Michigan State has allowed more than 70 points just one time in the last 10 games. Awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. And what we didn't know until after the game was that Gabe Brown apparently has the flu. Now, hopefully, you know, the flu is contagious if you don't take care of yourself. Hopefully this isn't one of those things where it spreads to other players. And again, you know, having Gabe Brown in the game, I'm hoping that no players on Northwestern got the flu bug due to Gabe Brown. But what we didn't know was that Gabe Brown does have the flu. And actually before the game last night, to get him ready, there were some players who had to physically go to his apartment and pick him up and drown him with fluids so that he was game ready last night. And thank goodness they did, because Gabe Brown was great last night. You know, Deshaun Tate, dear friend of the show of 92.9 The Game down in Atlanta, college basketball reporter, producer, host. You know, Deshaun has been on many, many different times. Deshaun hit me up. We're both night owls. Deshaun hit me up around like 2 a.m. saying that, look, if Gabe Brown, and I'll quote him exactly here, quote, if Gabe Brown isn't MSU's best player, most assertive and efficient scorer next season, I don't know this team very well at all. And I said, yeah, I agree with you, because Gabe Brown has so much potential. He is the ideal inside-out forward. He's not bad defensively. I mean, Gabe Brown, 3 of 6 for 7 points. You're probably sitting there saying, Al, he only scored 7 points, blah, blah, blah. But those were keys. Those 7 points were in key moments of that game for Michigan State when they needed a bucket, when they needed to kind of stretch things out and just kind of stomp on the throat of Northwestern. I love that. He had one steal. Xavier Tillman with 3 steals. How about that? But he had one steal for Gabe Brown. He had 2 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 blocks to go along with 7 points. That's a pretty good performance for a brother who had the flu. Awesome, awesome stuff for him. And then Cassius Winston returning to form. You know, Cassius Winston had 1 3-pointer where he nailed it on the left wing and just kind of just let it go, held up his hand for about a second after and looked at the crowd like, yeah, I'm having some fun here. You know, great to see Cassius Winston smile out there enjoying the game and being the player that we know he's capable of being. 6 of 12 for him, 4 of 7 from deep, 18 points for him. And then the bench production. Led by Foster Lawyer. How about Foster Lawyer? Now, again, it's against Northwestern. So, again, I'm not throwing a party here on this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. But for a young man who has gotten so much criticism, who has gotten beat up with words from media personnel like myself, from Michigan State fans and Twitterverse and just social media in general, to see Foster Lawyer go out there and finish with 12 points, leading the bench production of Michigan State basketball last night. Also, he had 4 assists, no turnovers. Look, this is a huge development for Michigan State if Foster Lawyer can give you I'm not saying, again, Foster Lawyer doesn't have to go out there and give you 12 points every single game, but a good 6 points from Foster Lawyer, and if he continues to shoot efficiently from deep, because this is not a great three-point shooting MSU men's basketball team, if Foster Lawyer can lead the way for Michigan State shooting-wise from deep, that's encouraging. But more so than that, being a nice player who can come off the bench and give Cassius Winston some rest. Thank goodness. To take some miles off of the tires of Cassius Winston, a player you can trust in Foster Lawyer to do that now is encouraging. Now, I'm not going to lie. You know, when Northwestern saw that Foster Lawyer was in the game because he's not physically intimidating at all, and that can prove to be a hindrance at times, because there was a moment when Foster was in the game and Cassius Winston was down in Gatorade where Northwestern said, all right, let's feed the ball to Pat Spencer, give the ball to Pat Spencer right now and treat him like Shaquille O'Neal down low. And they attacked him on like three straight possessions, and Pat Spencer was able to on one possession, Pat Spencer was able to find a forward down low. I forget who the player was for an easy deuce, because Pat Spencer just, I mean, he's a much bigger guard at 6'3", 205 than Foster Lawyer. He was able to back Foster down. Some help came because they realized that this is going to lead to an easy layup, and then Pat Spencer realized the double team was coming and was able to hit a forward for two. And then Pat Spencer was able to sprint down the court on the next possession, get good positioning on Foster Lawyer, back him down, boom, layup. And it wasn't too soon after that Tom Izzo recognized, all right, I got to get Foster out the game because he's being bullied down there. That is always going to be a concern, because Foster Lawyer just is not a big guard. He's not physically intimidating. So he can be a hindrance on the defensive end of the basketball. But if he can make up for it on the offensive end by finding an open man or two, or by nailing a three-pointer here and there, look, I'll live with it. I'll live with it. And it's just good to see that the Foster's confidence is going up a bit. All right? You know, he can shoot the ball. We saw him do that in high school. You know, shooting is the only thing that you can look at a basketball player and say, all right, that's transitional no matter what level of basketball you're talking about. If you can shoot the rock, you can shoot the rock on the college level and the pro level. If you are a good shooter, that is transitional. So Lawyer is taking a step in the right direction. The last point I want to make here is that Michigan State has got to take care of the basketball. You got to. The turnovers will kill you against better competition. You know, you have to always say this. When depending on the competition that you play, you have to view the game from a different lens. If you are playing the number one team in the nation, how competitive you are against that number one team in the nation will give you a good litmus test to judge how far you are from making a deep run come tourney time. If you're playing a team that is the last place team in the Big Ten Conference, a team you should mollywop, how you view that game has to change. Sure, it was a 29-point victory, but there was that middle portion that you got to worry about, because if you play against, again, I don't know how many times I can say it. I'm going to stop reiterating it now. You get the point I'm trying to make here. Mark Rocket Watts, he didn't have his best shooting game. 1-for-7 from the floor. He also had 3 offensive fouls. I don't know what it is about Rocket, but he gets that ball, goes straight to the lane, and he's out of control at times, and teams realize that. They just set their feet and take the charge, and the whistle's blown. I mean, Rocket has to be more under control when he's going to the basket. And also, Tom Izzo, he kind of blew a gasket last night, and he got a technical foul. He was not happy with some parts of the officiating. I want to note Malik Hall's technical foul. I did not agree with that. I thought that Malik Hall, he hung on the rim because he saw that there was a player just over his right shoulder that looked like maybe he was going to go under him to take the basketball out of bounds. But he was in the vicinity, and the referees thought that, you know, or was it Julius Marble? Am I right? Can we double check that? I think it was Julius Marble, Alec, who got that technical foul. Not Malik Hall. But, you know, he looked and hung on the rim, and the referees thought that he was trying to showboat, when I honestly believe that he felt like there was a player under him, and it was totally ludicrous. When a Northwestern player does it later on in the game and doesn't get a technical at all in the is zone last night, let the referees hear that. What was it?
It was Julius Marble.
It was Julius Marble, right?
Yep. Yeah,
it wasn't Malik Hall. I don't know why I said Malik Hall. So that was a bit puzzling as well. Bottom line, a win is a win, and Michigan State has a great opportunity here to continue to have some separation when it comes to Illinois. Illinois is going to have a tough game tonight against Minnesota, but Illinois is a really, really good basketball team. And right now it's about who can get the most wins as we hit this very important second half stretch of Big Ten hoops. Because Michigan State and Illinois, those are the two teams that are competing for the Big Ten championship right now. We'll see what happens tonight when Illinois takes on Minnesota. And then Michigan State, though, you got to feel very fortunate right now. You have to feel very good if you are a Michigan State fan when looking at that game on Saturday, because Kobe King is gone. He chucked up the deuces. And now Brad Davison has been suspended for that game for being a boneheaded, dirty player. What he did against Iowa, and again, he's done things like this before, all right? This is not his first rodeo when it comes to doing something that goes against the grain of being an uber-competitive player. He crossed the line again, so you got to suspend him. Without Davison and without Kobe King now, Michigan State should beat Wisconsin on the road. That should be a dub. But I got a point I want to make when it concerns Kobe King deciding to leave his team at this point in the year. I'll do that after this first and only break. We'll come back. I'll make that point. And I'll end the show, with the latest revelation concerning the Mark D'Antonio deposition in regards to letting go of former MSU football staffer Curtis Blackwell. That and more. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. And, I didn't even notice this, Alec, but Mike, we got many comments coming in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKARnews if you want to weigh in there. I just realized that Cassius Winston only had one assist. It shows you how closely I was looking at the box score after that game last night. Cassius Winston only had one assist. That just shows you how bad Northwestern is. One assist for Cassius Winston. Actually, Foster Lawyer and Xavier Tillman and Aaron Henry all led Michigan State in the assist category last night, each having four assists for the Spartans. But Cassius Winston only had one assist last night. That is not a stat line that you usually read. That's not a stat line that I don't think I've ever read. Alec, but again, it puts perspective just how bad Northwestern is. Brian Lewerke put on his Twitter profile last night, why does Northwestern even have a men's basketball team? I think he says something to the likes of, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, but Northwestern should just cancel their men's basketball team.
Yeah, and
he's got a point. My goodness, they are bad.
No, I know. I saw that, and he deleted it like 1 hour later.
Oh, did he? It's no longer up there?
Yeah, he deleted it. But how about Northwestern only getting 10 assists? That's also something that needs to be like known for everybody, because that's just abysmal performance in terms of just overall moving the ball around. I can't even believe that.
Yeah, it really is. So, but. What's your takeaway here, real quick, Alec? Because I want to make we'll close out at 2:15. I want to make a point about Kobe King and him no longer being a part of the Wisconsin men's basketball team. And I also want to just briefly touch on the Mark D'Antonio deposition revealings. But your overall feeling of Michigan State's 29-point drubbing of Northwestern last night? How are you feeling about that win?
They played really well. You know, they had, 46 points in the second half in 20 minutes played. You know, they're getting the offensive tempo rolling after the second half, because there must have been something in the locker room that Tom Izzo just, lit up the flame in MSU's offense, because, you know, Xavier Tillman, you know, despite only having 12 points, he was really helpful. He had 8 rebounds, 5 defensive rebounds, you know, so... You know, people like him and Marcus Bingham, you know, who are a force in the paint on the defensive side, you know, that's huge, you know. And, you know, sometimes it's not all about just the offensive performance. It's about, you know, you see players like Xavier Tillman getting 3 steals, you know, Aaron Henry also contributing 2 steals. And then Marcus Bingham, like I said, Marcus Bingham had 3 blocks. You know, it's just all around, that was just a really well-played basketball game. And besides the turnovers, that was the only thing that'll kill them. And that's my only concern, as you mentioned. That is a big concern, because, you know, like I said, you know, Northwestern's 1-9 in the Big Ten Conference. And so this is like bottom tier. And so if you're having problems with turnovers against a team like this, then, you know, down the road when you're facing teams like Penn State and Iowa, you know, that they're going to exploit that.
Yeah, and Chris Collins, you know, I really kind of felt for that brother. I just don't think that Northwestern just doesn't have the talent right now to really compete against the big dogs. Not even just the big dogs, but the middle tier of the Big Ten right now. So Chris Collins, you could just see the frustration on his face last night. He was not a happy camper at all. So MSU 79, Northwestern 50. Real quick point about Kobe King deciding to leave the Wisconsin men's basketball program. Now, I do want to say this, coupled with these thoughts. We don't know the hardcore specifics about why King decided to leave the program, but what we know right now and what perception reveals about this situation, the optics are bad for Kobe King. Because what this looks like right now, maybe there is something personal as to why, that gives us a reason why he decided to leave this program, but what we know now, how this look, Alec, is this looks as though he is just quitting on the team. Normally, when you see somebody leaving a program, deciding to transfer elsewhere, normally that player is upset or perturbed about minutes that has led to a lack of production, and it has led to that player not feeling like he's a part of the team. He wants a better opportunity where he can showcase his talent. Because at the end of the day, the dream for most of these Division I college basketball players is to play professional basketball. That's not the case here with Kobe King. I mean, we're talking about one of the leading scorers of the Wisconsin Badgers. We are talking about a player who is getting a ton of minutes. Why are you leaving? The other reason we see players leave is due to personal reasons. Maybe you've gotten into it with the coach.
or player on the team and you're just not happy with the environment. Maybe it's something at school. Maybe it's something personal going on in your family. But again, based on what we know now, at this particular point where Wisconsin is fighting for an NCAA tournament bid, based on what we know, this looks like you just quit on your team. And if there's more to it, fans and his teammates and that coaching staff deserves more clarification if there is more to this story. If there's not, we got it. You just quit on your team. And Andy Katz said this very eloquently on the Big Ten Network yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw that snippet of him on the Big Ten Network, but Andy Katz made the same points that I'm making because I felt the same way. I'm like, what? This makes no sense. You're getting your minutes. You are a focal point of this team on both ends of the floor. Why are you leaving? Very unfortunate for Wisconsin. Very fortunate for Michigan State, who rose into that matchup with a big advantage. King's not there. Davis is not there. Michigan State should easily win that game. Hopefully I'm not putting my foot in my mouth come Monday's current sports, Alec. But that's tough. And real quick here, with 6 minutes left, I do want to let you guys know about the Mark D'Antonio deposition. This was published by Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press this morning around 8 a.m. as he dove into a bit of the specifics of this 57-page recounting of that deposition. And apparently, Curtis Blackwell's attorneys are asking for more time because there was still an hour and some change left when it came to the up to 7 hour ruling that a judge ruled, for Blackwell's attorneys to question Mark D'Antonio, and they cut it short an hour and some change because the courthouse was closing apparently. But in this 57-page report, apparently Mark D'Antonio he called up Curtis Blackwell while he was on a train in Italy and let him know that, yeah, we're not bringing you back. This is what D'Antonio said in his deposition. Quote, whether you want to call it friction, hostility, workplace environment, attention to detail, disconnect, accountability, structure to some degree, all came into question. The next thing was the philosophy of who we wanted to control that environment. Did we want an NFL executive to do it, or did we want Curtis to do it in the same way that had been done? I felt it was warranted to make a change. We made the change. Now, D'Antonio said he gave Blackwell a raise from $80K to $129K a year in March of 2016 because the coach said the Spartans, quote, were coming off an unparalleled success, and he wanted to make Blackwell's salary, quote, in line with the rest of the Big Ten in terms of what that position should be making, end quote. D'Antonio said the third reason was because Michigan was attempting to hire Curtis Blackwell away from Michigan State. So Ann Arbor was interested in acquiring the talents of Curtis Blackwell. It was a raise, D'Antonio said, he and then athletic director Mark Hollis decided upon. D'Antonio added that Blackwell told him he was offered more from the University of Michigan. Coach D says, quote, we do not want to lose any coach, any person to the University of Michigan or to any other program. Adding that Blackwell was one of the people who aided MSU's success, going 12-2 and reaching the CFP in 2015. Hollis, along with former MSU president Luana Simon and two MSU police officers, again, they are defendants in the lawsuit that was filed by Curtis Blackwell and his attorneys in November of 2018. D'Antonio said that he did not believe that Blackwell was responsible for the Spartans going 3-9 in the 2016 season. Quote, nor was anybody else totally responsible. It's a group effort. So D'Antonio notes here a change in philosophy within his program because of an April 2017 rule that would no longer allow non-football staff members such as Blackwell to attend satellite camps. Now, I don't understand non-football staff members because what I've been reading is that Curtis Blackwell was an official staffer. So, you know, this is what's laid out here. Philosophical differences is what Mark D'Antonio argued here. And before Mark D'Antonio made that call, according to the deposition, Mark Hollis was the one that told Mark D'Antonio to give Curtis Blackwell a call and let him know that he would not be renewing his contract. Mark D'Antonio described it as very, quote, one-sided. It didn't last very long. And Curtis Blackwell, according to Mark D'Antonio, said that he understood. So you can check out the full article. Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press, he published the full article there. Check it out. And it really kind of just lays out things there. All right. But with a minute left, less than a minute left, I want to bid you all adieu. We'll be back at it 1:15 p.m. tomorrow right here on Facebook Live at facebook.com/WKARnews. We'll talk Super Bowl, something that we have not done yet here on Current Sports. We'll talk some prop bets. We'll try and get MSU grad Trevor Darnell live from Vegas to talk about just how insane in the membrane it is out in LV due to the Super Bowl this Sunday. So we'll have some fun on tomorrow's Current Sports. Don't miss it. Be easy, people.